Yo, people, what is P-Y-O-P-N? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Two's Company podcast. Now, a little bit of an interesting one for you today, simply because I'm not joined by my sexy, sensational, stud-esque co-host that is Ryan Kirkham. It's a solo one with the job today, so I apologize. But we have both had a busy week, ending with a party-filled weekend. And I am actually recording this on a Sunday night because I realized we haven't actually put anything out ready for tomorrow. So this is that. Hello, and I hope you enjoy. This is gonna be 20 questions with the jop. I'm gonna try and contain this to 20 questions within 20 minutes. That's not gonna happen, let's be fair. But I am gonna try and get through as many of my 20 questions within the 20-minute time frame as possible. Or I might be a little goosey-goosey and decide that I'm gonna extend this and just do the 20 questions regardless of how long it takes. So using the interweb, I have devised a load of questions as I sit here with my cup of tea to answer simply for the pod, for your entertainment. Some of them relatable, some of them might be just not relatable, and that's fine. So, first question comes from the internet. Favorite Friends character and favorite Friends episode, which is very poetic because I was just watching season one, episode three of Friends, which is the one where Phoebe finds the thumb. So for anyone who's an avid fan of Friends, Phoebe finds the thumb in a can that she gets off a homeless chick. And there you go. That was the episode. My favorite Friends character is, as I answered to my beautiful girlfriend moments ago, Chandler. I think I draw a lot of inspiration in my day-to-day sarcasm and humor from Chandler. I find him hilarious. I find his quippy, bickery, sarcasm just quite funny, quite endearing. And he's my favorite. I think he also, throughout each season, he's like the most consistent. Like, there's not an avid decrease or increase in like characteristics. Like, everything seems pretty stable for him. Like, he does, like, Joey, for example, just gets dumber and dumber and dumber and dumber and dumber. By season 10, he's just like thick. Where he's not thick in season one, and I'm like, man's obviously done a hell of a lot of drugs to get there. Monica, like, gets more and more like OCD as time goes on, like with the cleaning, and I'm like, they push it a bit too far with that characteristic. Whereas I think Chandler's like just pretty consistent, and I enjoy the joke of like, what do you actually do for a living, Chandler? Like, I think that's a nice little tidbit. My favorite Friends episode, as I sip my cup of tea. Hang on a second, let me. Let me just keep this here, ready? Oh, baby. Decaf, though, because it's 7 p.m. My favorite Friends episode is the one where everyone finds out. Or is it the one where Joey finds out? Or is that the same episode? Let me do the old Joe Rogan, like, hey, Jamie, can you just pull that up for a second? The one where everybody, it is the one where everybody finds out. Yeah, that's a. Is it the one where everyone finds out? Do you know what? It might be the one before that, because essentially. Oh, yeah, I didn't know it is. It's the one where everyone finds out, because it's the moment where Monica is like, Rachel, do you know where my eyelash curler is? And Rachel's like, no, I haven't seen it. And then I think someone gets a call. And they're like, Chandler, the hotel rang and they said that they found that eyelash curler. And then Joey's there and he's like, oh, and he like pieces it together. And I just, that moment is, oh, I don't know. It's like, if you've ever been part of like a friendship group and there's like maybe like something within the group that not everyone knows and everyone, I don't know, it's just quite like, and oh, just entertaining, isn't it? It's just entertaining. Can you believe though? That was only season five. So for the half of Friends, Monica and Chandler were together. Isn't that mental? I feel like I've not seen a lot of season six then, because I feel like I've seen up to where they get together, but I've not seen a lot of after that. So I reckon I need to rewatch Friends because I've only ever watched it sporadically on like Comedy Central back in the day. But I'm a big fan. I actually have the box set. I'm just too lazy to clearly watch it on DVD. So the one where everyone finds out is my favorite Friends episode. If you have a favorite Friends episode, please let me know. I'm fully intrigued, and I know some of you listening, you're a fan of Friends. So let me know your favorite episode. the really important question: were Ross and Rachel really on a break? Now this is a controversial one. Could get me in trouble here. Depends on what my answer is. I am thinking back to what happened. And if I remember right, so my point is actually, I don't think Ross should have slept with someone when he did, whether they were on a break or not. I also don't think the break was clearly defined. Like, I think I remember Rachel being like, we just need some time apart, me and you. To me, that doesn't signal like we're broken up. Like, that's just like we're in limbo right now. So it's probably best you don't go sleep with someone, especially if you intend on getting back with me. So I'm going to say they were or not on a break because I think a break can be defined under many circumstances. And I don't think there was an appropriate time for Ross to go sleep with. Was it Gunther's sister? No, it was the dude at the washing machine place, wasn't it? His sister. Because remember the chain? Remember, everyone has a chain, all right? When you do something, there's a chain. Chain link, right? If I hit the postman with my car, he reports my. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. I haven't hit a postman with my car this, so don't worry. What is my favorite cereal? Ooh. I feel like the go-to would be something I have regularly, which is Frosted Flakes. I don't know if that's my favorite though, because I want to like throw in a bit of nostalgia, because I feel like nostalgia is a hell of a drug. I'm gonna go Golden Nuggets. I Golden Nuggets with some milk. Oh my good God. It didn't get better than that back in the day. Like that in the morning. Oh, stop it. Stop it, Ron. So I'm gonna go Golden Nuggets. Honorable mentions. Would be a Frosted Flake. Oh, love a double F. Double F to the soul, baby. I do love a Cocoa Pop. Or, as I like to call them, no, I don't call them this, but Cocoa Jops. There you go. New cereal coming soon. Would anyone eat those? If you feel like you'd eat some Cocoa Jops, oh, that's a good name, isn't it? It's a really good name. I like that. You know what? I really like that. Guys, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Bucket list items, just rambling as always. Bucket list items for 2023. Now, I actually have a list in our office, home library slash gaming center. My bucket list is really bad because I don't have a lot of things I want to do this year. 2024, by the way, not 2023. Stuck in the past. We have a joint bucket list, which I will not read out because that's not my not privacy for my darling girlfriend, right? I have two things that were on my 2024 bucket list when I wrote them on New Year's Eve, and one of them was buy a PS5, which I did. Now, not off my own back though. I had to take a strong convincing from my friends, so they know who they are. They sat me down for what was probably an intervention. Is to be discussed. I'm sure it was. I bought a PS5, so that's one out of the two. And the other one is to go to AEW All in Wembley Stadium again, like I did last year, which was one of the best days of my life. So, as an avid wrestling fan, it doesn't get much better. So I do want to do that again in 2024. I don't want to spend £500 on a ticket like I did last year because the seats were really good, but I don't think I needed to spend that much. So I'd be happy just like deciding the day of, like, am I going to Wembley today and watch wrestling? Like, I think like, the spontaneous, I should say, nature of that quite like excites me a little bit. So, I think I'm going to do that. Next question. Now, apparently, according to the interweb, everybody has five friends that fall under a specific category. So the five categories are, and it is my job here to put some friends into these categories. So if you don't get mentioned, it's not because I don't like you, but I only have five choices and I'm going to not put them in because of who they are, but whether they fit the category. All right. So Get over it. Friends, older and wiser. Who is your older and wiser friend? There's a toss up here. Now, Kirkham is older than me. For anyone that didn't know, because I've probably said it many times, he's a stud, a mature man. Older and wiser though would probably it's a toss up. I'm not going to choose because I don't want to choose. All right, I don't want to be put in that position today. Older and wiser would probably be a toss up between Mr. Dean MacKillop, who I don't know if he listens to this anymore. I hope he does. Dean, good eye, man. Dean MacKillop and Joe Jeffrey. Those would be the two older and wiser friends that I would say fall into the older and wiser category. Both have given me some very good advice, whether they remember it or not. And I don't know if I could choose one that falls into that category, but it would be one of those two. The younger friend that is younger than me. Now, who is younger than me? My sister is probably one of my best friends, to the point that me and Katie have had to have a strong discussion, not a strong discussion. But I was like, God, I'd love my sister as one of my grooms. But we realized it probably makes more sense for her to be a bridesmaid. So, oh my God, I accidentally clicked YouTube. So it is going to go to the one and only my, do you know what? I feel like we're on a same humor level. A lot of the time, especially on certain Saturday nights where things get wild, it's gonna be Mr. Jake Maddox. He is my younger friend, I would say, out of my friends. So Jake, congratulations, you're the younger friend. The friend that has a different home culture to you. Wow, that's interesting. Very interesting. Now I don't quite know what that means as I was reading it on the internet, but. Because like home culture, like I get home from work and I guess like I'm pretty chill. I watch YouTube, I play video games because I'm a man child and my girlfriend lets me. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So my someone who has a different home culture, does that mean they like work harder than I do? I don't know what this means. I don't know. I was gonna do my Connor from Love on the Spectrum. Great show if anyone hasn't watched it. Just incredible to see how people with autism interact, especially in relationships. And me being the social chameleon that I consider myself, I am picked up Connor's impression. I'll do an impression of Connor because he's a G. Home culture. Now. I don't know. Do you know what? I'm not even going to answer that. I don't even know what that means. Different home culture. Could be anyone. I don't think anyone lives the life I live. So it could be any of my friends. Do you know what? I'm going to give it to Tony House because she is a mum of three. And that's pretty different to me because I'm not a mum of three. So yeah, there you go, Tony. Tony in the house. Gee. Someone who has a different world view. So someone who is racist, homophobic, everything that I'm not basically. Racist, homophobic, hates wrestling, hates superheroes. Trying to think if I know anyone like that. Different world view. Oh my gosh. I see the world pretty, I don't know if this like not positively. That's maybe. Do you know what? Sometimes I see the world quite negatively. Sometimes, here you go. This is a bit of introspection for you. I get quite self-conscious about this is getting deep now. I get quite self-conscious about my, and I've said this before, but how what's the word? Like friendly I am. And I'm like, I like second guess that. I'm like, oh, should I be that friendly? Like, are people gonna think I'm weird because they're not that friendly? That's actually something I second guess about myself. And I put a lot of pressure on myself to sometimes like act more relaxed and less personable than I maybe am, because I'm quite like a buzzy character, like a bit. Probably some people find me annoying as well, which I'm very self-aware of, by the way. So if anyone does think I'm annoying, I'm self-aware of it. I know. I can be too much, but then again, so can anyone. I don't know, different worldview. Probably my granddad, because he's an old man. But he's a great guy. Fun fact, when he proposed to my nan, instead of the classic, will you marry me, blah, 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 he gave her a ring and said, I guess you should have this then. So says everything about my granddad, really. And then the friend that lives close. Now, a lot of my incredibly best friends, to not name them all by name, there's a good fucking 10 of them, I'm sure. If you include their girlfriends, who I also consider friends as well. There's a word that Joe taught me today, actually, and I can't remember. Klopp. I was about to say Jurgen Klopp. That's Liverpool's football manager. Kloppomaniac. Oh my God, that's not right. Kloptimist? No. All right, Joe, stop shouting at the headset. I know what you mean. Very interesting. He's a clever guy, RJ. Right? Let me just clarify that for you, if you didn't know already. But the friend that lives close, probably say she's gonna like this. But Katie's dad. Now, I met Katie's dad within the first 7 days of us being a thing, or even knowing each other, actually. And before I met him, my tea's gone cold from all my rambling. Before I met him, she gave me like a rundown. Like, if my dad doesn't like seem very conversational, don't take it personal. That's just the way he is. And I was like, oh, right, okay, like maybe I'm not gonna have this like relationship with her dad. Like, that's fine. Like, me and her dad are like best buds. And a quote from Matt Adams, Liverpoolian Matt. I don't know if he listens to this, but Matt, please do. I'd like to do more impressions of your accent for you to listen to. Is it Matt said last night, Joppo's everyone's best friend. I certainly, I wouldn't say I try to be everyone's best friend. I like to be friends with everyone. It's just something I've always enjoyed. I like people. There you go. I'd say Katie's dad is probably my close friend. We message near enough every day about Star Wars, which is quite nice. Yeah, he's probably one of my best friends. I enjoy his company more than most. Yeah, feel very safe around him. There you go. So safety is like a big thing for me in a friendship, which is a question that we'll get into later on. Describe the perfect day. It's a good question. So how this would relate to maybe things to come. Obviously, I'd like to eventually marry my girlfriend very soon. She does know this. I'm not saying this to the pod. It will be a surprise, but it's a discussion that had to be had still. The perfect day, I'm actually going to describe in the hope that Kirkham listens to this, describe the perfect stag do so it can be planned for me. No, I'm joking. No, I'm going to use that as an example because I think that's a good example. The perfect day would also be what I would want to be the, I guess, a stag do, because like, why would you not want your stag to be your perfect day? It would probably be like a nice long walk outside if the weather's good, like in the forest, like have a good chat with all my friends while we're on this like nice hour to 2 hour walk. Maybe like somewhere like the Mole, not the Molvens, but like somewhere with like hills nearby and there's like a coffee shop. And grab a flat white, go for a walk. That's quite nice in like the morning time, or lunchtime. Come back, like smash some like gaming, like some multiplayer games there. You know, like crack out the Street Fighter, crack out the FIFA. I'm not even a big football guy, but I think FIFA is just one of those cool games that when there's a load of you like playing together, it's just a good crack. And probably order some food. And if I could like order a choice of food, it would probably be like a burger, or like a shitload of sushi, because sushi just makes you feel good after. Top it off with just like a movie in the evening and just chill with my friends and watch a movie. I would probably throw in some sort of session there somewhere, but probably not on the same day. Maybe that'd have to be a separate entity to the chill stag. But just like a night of gaming and food with my friends would be really, really cool. Yeah, that would be awesome. I guess that'd be my perfect day. Like coffee, walk, gaming, a movie, whether that be the cinema or not. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Who is my current celebrity crush? This is a really easy one for me, and Katie's gonna hate it because she says she's the one person that she hates that I have a crush on. It is Sydney Sweeney from the series Euphoria, which is very popular. Was she in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? Oh wow, did not know that. I think, oh, Sydney, stop it, girl. No, she is my current celebrity crush. But also my, oh no, my girlfriend's not a celebrity, but she's my crush. My first celebrity crush, though, let me take down memory lane here. Tori Wilson of WWE from 2001-ish, I think she debuted in WWE onwards. As she said in her Hall of Fame speech, she was blessed to be a part of so many people's childhoods. She was definitely about part of my childhood. There was a wrestling pay-per-view I used to have on VHS. And in the video, there was part of the storyline is this other wrestler who's a lady who's trying to sleep with her dad. And Tori wanted him to stop sleeping with her dad. But in order for that to happen, this other chick like wanted hot lesbian action with Tori. So there's a scene on this pay-per-view where there's two wrestler chicks in a hotel room and they were like making out and then undressing each other. And I can just say that I rewinded that VHS a lot of times. And I also made sure I watched it upstairs all the time and never in a room that was next to where my parents were. Yeah, I think that's when I first discovered I liked women, was wrestling. So there you go. Happy ending in the end, you know? A very interesting question, perhaps one that I can't even answer. Is water wet? I feel like I need drugs to answer that. So I'm maybe gonna wait and maybe not answer that until the time is right and someone can ask me, is water truly, oh, farted there. Is water truly wet? I guess so. I guess so. A movie that I could watch every single day. Ooh, it's a good one. So, it's a toss-up between. I'm going to give you two answers here. One for nostalgia purposes and one for genuine enjoyment. I'm going to say number one is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie that came out in 1995. You know what everyone's thinking? Joppo, you're a fucking child. I am. I really am. I am hooked on nostalgia. I am a big nostalgia addict. Reminds me of a time that was very happy. So there you go. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 1995. It wasn't even a good movie. It wasn't even a good Power Rangers movie. It was actually very poor, if I'm honest. But it just gives me this rush of nostalgia and comfortability that reminds me of sitting in my nan's living room on like a Friday night. Like, life is good. I'm just watching Power Rangers and I'm doing nothing for the next 2 days, you know? It's just nostalgia. A movie that I could watch every day, though, that is non-nostalgia related would be Bullet Train that came out in 2022. Fucking love that film. It's my sort of humor. Like in a nutshell, like quippy, like oh, I don't know, just it's yeah, self-aware maybe. Like Deadpool's quite self-aware, and the director that did Bullet Train did Deadpool, and I quite like self-aware things like Scream. If you've watched any of the Scream films, are so self-aware, like they take the mick out of what they've become, and it pops me. I enjoy it. I've clearly been hanging around with my friends too much this weekend because I feel like I've adopted their way of speaking, which tends to happen quite a lot. Again, social chameleon in me. Favorite quality about myself? Oof. Favorite quality? Again, I'm a very self-conscious person about my characteristics and personality. Because again, I'm very self-conscious of the fact that I'm sometimes overly friendly, and I worry that people think that that's an act. That sounds really stupid, but I think typically people aren't overly friendly, but I just naturally am, and I get like a bit like, oh, like I don't want to come across that I'm overly friendly, but this is how I am. So I'm like, ugh. So it's always been something I've been really self-conscious of, actually. And even when I was younger, like pursuing relationships with girls, I had to like pull myself out of like not coming across too keen, even though I was really keen. Because I just, again, I like people. I like people. I like spending time with people. It's one of my favorite things to do. Favorite quality would probably be maybe like how friendly I am, I guess. I consider myself a friendly dude, so that's probably my favorite quality. I like that about me. But my least favorite quality is maybe also that, because I think if I don't feel that that is reciprocated, and this is a good conversation I had with Dean once, Dean McKillop, wise friend Dean, he actually told me like, if like don't worry if how you tell me you love me as a friend and you speak to me isn't reciprocated, because it doesn't mean I don't love you back. It's just that's not how I communicate. And that was like really good for me to know, because I am someone who wears their heart on their sleeve. And again, like I said, maybe my least favorite quality, because then I not judge, but I get down if I don't feel that's reciprocated. But it's understanding that that's not how everyone acts, and that's fine. Like it might not be reciprocated, but it doesn't mean it's not there. And that was probably my least favorite quality about myself. So there you go, bit of introspection for you. The thing that makes me feel the safest, again, it would probably come down to now, there's a few things here, and actually, sorry, more people. I'm going to give you four people because I think this is accurate. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, is it, if there's any more. And it again comes back to the friend thing. One of them being Katie's dad. There you go. I think he's one of them. He's someone that makes me feel incredibly safe. And I don't know why, but like, when I'm in his company, like I feel, everything will be okay, sort of thing. I don't, if that makes sense. I don't know if that does make sense. But the same for, like Kirkham, Joe, Jeffrey. I don't know why I said his last name. He's gonna be listening to this. And Dean as well. I'm sorry, Jake. We're just the young guns. We don't make anyone feel safe. Yeah, just those four people specifically. Maybe my granddad thrown in there would be a good one. Those five people. I just feel like if things ever went wrong, they would be there to have, not have my back, but maybe catch me if I fell, if that makes sense. And that's a really good quality that they all have. And I think I might have told them all this. And if I haven't, they're going to be listening to it now. So there you go. Again, bit of introspection. Enjoy. My favorite childhood memory is I have a lot of favorites. I loved my childhood. Like, I had a really good childhood. And I was speaking to Joe about this the other week when we hung out. Like, my childhood was sick. I'd probably say, you know what, my favorite childhood memory is probably the day my sister was born. Again, and this was a conversation that we were having recently. Like, I've always been, and I don't know if it's due to the relationship I have with my sister, I've always been someone who gets along with girls really well, which actually caused me to lose a tooth on a night out once, because I won't go into the details, but because I was friends with a girl, I lost a tooth, right? So there you go. But my favorite childhood memory is probably the day my sister was born. I love my sister more than anything in the world. Anything in the world. Like, it's almost like she, the day she was born, it like taught me like responsibility, and like, that's my person I need to look after, right? Like, that is my like totem, if that's the right word, of like being alive, like my reason to just exist. There you go. Like I just it was overwhelming emotion, and it taught me how to like care for someone, love someone. Yeah, it was like I guess it was like the first day I was like, oh my God, I truly love this human being. And I'd say I carry the love I have for my sister into a lot of my relationships with other people, because again, it like taught me how to love on a really big level. And she's just the like I would do anything for my sister, absolutely anything. You know, like when she goes on a night out, she knows that she can turn up at my door at 4 in the morning, and that I would not hesitate to, I would not hesitate to run into town and help her, like if I needed to, if that was the call to action. It's just, yeah, that's probably my favorite childhood memory, the day my sister was born. Any specific people in your family that you would consider characters? My uncle is a character. So for anyone who ever has the pleasure of meeting my uncle, maybe at a big event like a wedding, you will probably either find him really annoying or really funny. I'm gonna edge on the side of funny, but he also can cross the line with his humor. As Katie knows, when she first met him, he came out with something that wasn't exactly the best thing to say. But he's a character, my uncle's character, in all the best ways, because he's an incredible guy. Just treads that line ever so gracefully. My granddad, also a character, and my mum is definitely a character. If anyone meets my mum, they will not understand how we are so different, because yeah, we're just so different, so different. But that also is an endearing factor about her that I love, is that we are different. As I call her, my irresponsible big sister. And this sort of brings me to the last question. So I know this wasn't 20 minutes, perhaps. Number one goal in life. Number one goal. I guess it would be to be deep again. I want everyone closest to me to feel incredibly loved, and to know that I'm there. Like, and this is like close people, right? Like close friends, family, siblings, everyone in that like circle of people, to know that, like, if I tell you on a friend level that I love you, that is a symbol of I will do anything for you. Like, I am there for you. And again, it brings me back to like my sister and like, loving hard. Like, I do love hard, unfortunately. Some people might hate it. Some people might really like that about me. It's hard to say. Again, I'm very self-conscious about these things. But yeah, that would be like my number one goal in life, is to make everyone close to me feel incredibly loved and like taken care of, I guess. But also like to leave, I don't want to say a legacy, because it makes me sound like I'm bigger than I am in terms of like symbolic personality, but to leave a memory and legacy that I was just a great person. Like, I want, like, when I'm spoken about, I want people to be like, man, I cannot fault that guy. Like, he's just the purest heart, because I've never, trying to think of what I'm trying to say. Yeah, I guess it's my number one goal in life, just for everyone to know that I am there for them. And someone said yesterday, Remington, a new friend of mine, Remington Spa, said, Joppa, heard incredible things about you, and that you don't have a bad bone in your body. In which I did reply, there's a good 2 or 3% of me that probably is bad, so I will say that. I've got a bad side, man. Even the bad side's pretty fucking shit, to be fair though, so don't worry. Yeah, and I think that was like a really nice compliment, that, and I was like, oh, well, someone's clearly told him that, and Like, that's really nice. And I guess that's probably how I want to be remembered, that, like, he was the best guy, or he was the best dad, or he was the best brother, he was the best uncle, like, just that. I think there's always that person in someone's life that's like, man, he's the best guy. Like, he's the best. Like, can't fault him. Like, for me, my dad, like, I'm just like, ah, fuck, I can't fault him. Like, everything he's done in my time on this earth is just unfaultable, right? Everything he's done. Just, and I won't go into detail, he's just the best guy. Like, yeah, I'm sure he's fucking probably got like things he said I probably don't agree with, but like, he's just a great guy. And yeah, I guess that's how I'd want to be remembered, as my number one goal is to love hard and to be remembered as a great guy. So, ladies and gentlemen, as I have the pleasure of now drinking my cold tea, you fucks. Thank you for listening to this solo journey down some memory lanes with the Jopinator. If you enjoyed this episode, please let me know. And I won't do any ever again. So, because my co-host will be back. But I hope you have a fantastic morning or evening or potentially afternoon whenever you're listening to this. I'm fucking knackered and I'm going to eat a big bowl of yogurt and cereal with some fruit, and it's going to be orgasmic. So, good eye, mates. And I wish you all the best in your future endeavors and to fill the void left by the best man. Love you. Bye.